Thank you, Ben, for reading our scripture lessons today and giving us some insight into Psalm 9. Thank you. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I was nervous as my supervisor, Dorothy, led me down the hallway to meet the last of my assigned residents on hospice. As a student hospice chaplain, I cared for many people with many different levels of ability. Some were able to have full-on conversations about everything from their childhood to analysis of the big game the night before. Others, however, enjoyed just sitting there with a cup of coffee while we flipped through pictures of old cars or a family album nearby. Talk was small, but it was enough to connect. This was different, however. As we walked down the hallway, my supervisor told me that Althea was nonverbal and she rarely opened her eyes. She had been on hospice for a couple months and health-wise beginning to fade away. And so her family opted to have frequent chaplain visits, just another person to check up on her and see how she was. What made me nervous was, how am I supposed to connect or to give spiritual care to someone who I am unable to communicate with? And that's when Dorothy told me something I will never forget. She said, presence is a powerful way for God to work. Us showing up is a powerful way for God to work. She told me that she likes to believe, while we can't tell, that Althea is aware of the presence of others. And so Dorothy got out her phone. She went on YouTube. And knowing that Althea was Catholic her whole life, found a song and played it for her. And the song is called Be Not Afraid. Be not afraid, I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. And so slowly, Althea's hand began to rise in the air, as if there was some string just lifting it up there. Now, neither of us knew what was going on, how God was working within her, but something about the music, the calming way she lifted her hand in the air, brought this overwhelming sense of peace into the room, a stillness, and this faith that we were not alone, a faith in realizing this mysterious presence of God that had calmed my fears around not being able to connect with Althea. And it was together that we encountered God at work in some way in that very moment. And so this morning I want to think with you about the topic, a faith greater than fear restores peace. So what is faith? Is it merely believing in something greater than us? Is faith some spiritual exercise that, when done right, God will meet our checklist of demands? Because as kids, most of us were taught that with faith and prayers, God will give us what we ask for. Pray enough times and God will count them up and say, oh yeah, I think I should get on that right away. Now that's okay, and in some ways God does listen and interacts with us, but we know that through our faith journey that God does not always work in this particular way. God is not to be bought off. It's not transactional. Faith is not a currency that we use to get something. So what is it? Well, just before our reading today, Jesus is playing the professor. And he's literally teaching faith 101. Because before we get to the waves and the winds on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is preparing the crowds, which include his closest disciples, about the issues of faith. At the beginning of chapter 4, he compares faith to soil. Good soil produces healthy plants. I know we have a lot of gardeners in the room. You need good soil to have healthy plants. Bad soil, or rocky soil, doesn't allow things to grow. And if it does, the roots can be so shallow that they can easily be plucked up. The elements can take them down and they don't have longevity. But the seeds that fall upon healthy soil, in essence, a healthy faith, this faith can nurture seeds, bringing forth grain that can yield 30, 60, and 100-fold. And for Jesus, faith is less about getting the right words or looking like the most righteous person, but instead cultivating a relationship with God, which works a lot like Miracle-Gro, and it helps our seeds to thrive in the world. And so good soil means new and sustainable life, and a healthy faith is transformative and can endure almost anything. And so now Jesus leaves the classroom. Jesus gets away from the crowds of people, and with his entourage, they plan to traverse the 5 miles of water to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They don't leave early in the morning or in the afternoon, but Scripture says Jesus instructs them to leave in the evening when it's getting dark. Daylight is in short supply as they board their boats and begin to paddle. And while it seems daunting to us, we do know that Jesus has at least 4 expert fishermen with him who know how to navigate the weather, how to navigate the water in all conditions. But even they are unprepared for what happens next. Because all of a sudden, this windstorm whips up around them, that kind that confuses your senses. The Greek word used to describe the storm is megale, where we get the word mega from. So there's this mega windstorm which created large waves that are violently crashing against the side of the boat, one after another, unrelenting. Even the expert fishermen are afraid and fearful as the boats begin to take on water. What are they supposed to do? They have tried everything they know, and all their knowledge, their combined experience, is not enough. So, in desperation, they turn to a carpenter. Why? Was it only after their failed attempts to control the situation did they even consider God? Were they so paralyzed with fear that God was their last hope when God should have been their first hope? So they turn to Jesus, who is sound asleep on a cushion, perhaps giving his body the rest it needed after a long day of being in the spotlight. But the disciples are far from gracious at this point. They are completely gripped by fear, but they don't stir their teacher gently. They rebuke Jesus and lash out, saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And here's the thing about fear. When it grips us, we don't live well in right relationship with others. When fear overcomes us, and we haven't done the work of being good soil, our roots can lift right out of the earth. And we often ostracize our family, our friends, those in our community, even God. Fear can lead good people to say hateful and hurtful things that can sometimes break relationships beyond repair. And let us be honest about the things that we are fearful of. Let us be honest about the winds and waves of fear that rock our boats constantly through life. Some of us fear failure. Some of us fear being rejected. Some of us fear illness, which after this past year and a half, I have certainly felt that. Some of us fear for the safety of our loved ones or the health of our planet. Some of us fear change. And many of us fear the big one, death itself. And the waves beat against the boat, and the winds howl around us, and we may even lash out, God, do you not care that we are perishing? But in the story, Jesus wakes up and immediately commands the wind and the waves, and with it our fear that overcomes us. And Jesus says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Haggai, Salah. A divine pause interrupts the scene. And Scripture says that the winds ceased, and there is a calm. The waters are immediately restored. The winds are peaceful and maybe even comforting. And Jesus says to his disciples, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Jesus never says there is nothing to be afraid of. He does not chastise them for feeling an emotion that is natural and expected in such a situation, because there are things in life that it is natural and are worth being afraid of. But here's the thing, fear does not have the ultimate power over us. Jesus reminds his disciples and us not to let fear consume us and take over for who God created us to be. Even those things that truly scare us, they need not have dominion over us. They need not own us, because we know that there is a source that is bigger, more powerful, and more loving than all of that. Have you still no faith? A faith where even in the storm, we can know that we are not alone. A faith trusting that God is at work in our lives and through those around us. A faith where we can stand firmly planted in good soil, knowing that we are a child of God and loved through it all. So I don't know how God was working through Althea that day. I don't know if God was calming raging seas within her, or if she was completely content knowing that God was with her as God had been with her entire life. But her hand slowly went into the air. And there was a calm in that space. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. So whatever storms you are finding yourself in, now or in the future, don't allow fear to overcome the goodness of God to shine through you. Till and tend to the relationship you have with your God, who longs to be in relationship with you, preparing soil for seeds to grow and to multiply. And go forth knowing that even in the wind and the waves of life, open to God's presence and love with you, peace and calm are possible. So go forth, beloved child of God. May it be so. Amen.